All right. Cool. So, this has been quite an interesting week, hasn't it? Lots going on with people, and I've had a chance to talk with some people. I actually got a whole lot of responses to the email that I sent out about the election. How many of you got that email? How many of you read that email? Let me ask that. So maybe about half of you. I want to actually read that email, and as I do, I want to expand on it tonight. Let me get right to the first slide because I want you to see this. Jesus is King. Just take a look at that picture for a minute to give yourself a good visual of where the world is compared to Jesus, our King. That's obviously a picture of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, one of the names for Jesus. But you can see the strength, the hugeness, and I'm sure that picture doesn't do it justice at all as far as how powerful he really, really is. But it gives you an idea, some of the things that we stew about and get worried about, whether it's about our country all the way down to our own lives and how things are going. This is a picture that I just want you to keep in mind. So I'm gonna read some of this. I'm going to read some of this email, and then again, like I said, I'm going to stop in the middle of it and add to it. So the first thing I explained in the email, I'll just start here, is that I was at the Bethel Advance also this last week, and I'm really glad I was, because any of you who have a computer at home, if you look at emails at all, you know that for the last several months there's been things flying every which way, especially emails. And so it just stirring up. And if you read the paper at all, or if you're reading the headlines on the news, on the internet, again, there's all kinds of things that you could just constantly keep yourself worried and upset all the time if you want to. It's actually quite easy with all the stuff that you're getting fed all the time. So along comes Tuesday, and I'm sure if I was home, I probably would have watched, some of the results as they're coming in, and probably would have watched a lot of it. I'm so glad I didn't. I'm so glad I had no opportunity to do that, because instead I was at Bethel Church, and we were immersed in this amazing kingdom atmosphere and in the Lord's presence. And so I got a text from my son. At about, I think, 8 o'clock at night, that said President Obama. And that was the first that I had heard of anything. But in that conference, I just had an immediate perspective on things. I'm going to actually start reading my email now. I said, this whole thing, by this whole thing, I mean life, history, where all this is going, is about Jesus. It always has been, it always will be about Jesus. I'm going to stop right there and say that that Jesus, all of history is one story about Jesus. It really is. And all of us take our part in it. We're important. We're really important to God. But it's also, you need to understand that you're also just a little piece of this big old story that you're now taking your place in as part of the body of Christ. We know that we're the body of Christ, but we don't think about the ramifications of that, that we're part of Him. We're part of this one story. He was around before all of creation. He was there. He'll be around forever. We'll be with Him forever. And while we're here, we're sharing part of His story as we're impacting the world as a part of Jesus. So it's always been about Jesus. He has already won the complete victory on our behalf. So in this battle that still exists, we could all acknowledge, yeah, we're in a battle. We feel it all the time. But the honest truth is, and we know it, the victory is already won. So in this battle that still exists until His return, we are fighting from victory, not for it. We are fighting from victory. We're not fighting for victory because we already have victory. And the battle itself is never, ever against people. Ever, 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 ever. I know we get tricked into that all the time. But the honest truth is, the battle is never against people. It's against principalities and powers, demonic forces trying in vain to oppose God's kingdom. If you forget that, you can easily get duped into hating people when your nature in Christ is always to love. So here's where I want to go into this a little bit more, right here. I want to say that it's time for the church to rise up. It is time for us to rise above the things that are flying around in that realm of the demonic realm that's trying to get you suckered into these things. It's time to rise up above the political spirit. It is time to rise. That's what a lot of this is. I don't know if there is a one spirit, or I don't know, you know, I don't even want to know all of the demonic stuff going on. I really don't. All I know, one thing I do know is there's a whole lot more of for us than against us. That the Bible makes very clear. But since there is a battle going on, you have to understand that this yuck that we feel, especially every 4 years, this yuck is big. It's big yuck, and you can feel it, can't you? Every time. I will love and I declare for the church, it's time to rise up above this thing. It really is. And which means that the more you get infused with the love and the grace and the yumminess of God, you start to say no to the things that want to destroy and tear apart. So you literally rise above it. You literally can say, I don't choose to play that game. I don't. I can tell you, I didn't forward any of those emails. Not one. So, I, you know, some of you might be disappointed. Oh, shoot. I thought if I send it to Pastor Brent, he would send it on to all his friends. I didn't. Only because there's a higher place where when we're with the Lord, he invites us into this intimate place with him that I can tell you is far more influential than a million emails you could send out. Guaranteed. Guaranteed, guaranteed. But he's like, who really wants my heart? Who wants to share my heart with people? So that's where it's time to rise up above the political spirit. It's way time to rise above the racial and gender class system spirit. You know, what makes this difficult, I don't pretend to know the struggle that African Americans have had and the victory that it was a victory for breaking through a barrier that needed to be broke through. I totally agree and get that. And now that barrier is broken, my prayer is still that we will not even see color. That's where all this is supposed to go. You know, I'll just use an example. I am not married to a beautiful Filipino woman. I'm married to Suzanne. You know what I'm saying? That's where God wants to take this. Is for all of us. And I don't even want to get into a bunch of this. I'm just saying it's time to rise above that. That's where Jesus says, you know, it's not male or female. It's not this class or that class. It's not this race or that. It's just all one in Christ. That's where this is going. So, and it's time for that. It really is time for that. It's time for the church to rise up above the fear and the doom and gloom. So many of the things I saw and keep reading was all fear-based. If this person gets elected, regardless of who you think it should have been or who you voted for, it was flying in both directions. If this person gets elected, oh no. And many of you experience that deep, you know, afterwards, like, oh no. If your candidate was not elected, you're thinking, oh no, what's going to happen to the world? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Oh no, oh no, oh no. You know what? You are yes people. All God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Yes and amen. Nothing of eternal significance has changed. Nothing. God is on the throne. Let me just... I got a couple of what ifs. I was going to go on. I'm going to go on and then I'll come back to the what ifs. No, I'm not. I'm going to go on to the what ifs. So here's my what ifs, okay? I talk about rising up, the church rising up, okay? What if we didn't look to one person to change things, but we looked to the Spirit of God inside of us and we believed who we are? What do you think would happen? Do you understand how all of us do this? And I'm not pointing fingers because I'm part of this growing up process too. I feel like I grew up a ton. I feel like I'm a totally different person than I was 4 years, 8 years, 12 years ago. When you start to look back at those markers when we voted for a president, I'm a totally different person. I'm reacting totally different to all of it because we are not of this world. We keep forgetting that. We're of a different kingdom, and what if we didn't get duped into believing that one person could change everything for us, one person, when of course it's Jesus, who was a person for a while, setting his divinity aside, his godness aside, but who now resides as God, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is the one, but he said what? He said, I live inside you, inside of you, inside of you, inside of you. We are the agents for change. So let me keep going because this is going to make even more sense. What if we took up our charge to take care of the poor, to free the oppressed, to love on the pregnant teenage moms, etc., etc., etc.? All the things, again, that we're expecting government to do. What if we just totally took up the charge, like Lee going out to Oakland, like so many of you? What if we just did it? What would happen? What would start to happen? Well, you know what? We're finding out, aren't we? We are finding out. What if the world's politicians were jealous of the church because of the amazing things that we were doing to love people and solve problems, and they gave us great favor? Do you know this is happening in the earth? This isn't just a what if. This is really happening. But it's happening with those who are not looking outside to someone else do something. They're saying, wait a minute, I have the Spirit of Christ living in me. I can do what I can do. I'm not here to save the world because Jesus already did that. We're already living from victory, right? But what if I actually believe that? And what if I stopped, again, thinking that the right person voted was going to make all the difference in the world, and instead I realized, oh my goodness, I carry eternity and the glory of God within me. What if we really, really believe that? Guess what? We're getting there. We're really, really believing it more and more. And that's why society's changing. I'm telling you, you guys know this. We're all headed for a big party. We're headed for a big wedding. And I know that every day we're alive doesn't always look that way, but I'm telling you that reality will never, ever change. That's where we're going. That's where we're heading. So you can be filled with joy in the midst of what the world says are very uncertain times, because for you, the truth has never changed. It hasn't changed one bit. See, if we get into the, oh no, doom and gloom, and somebody, oh gosh, somebody do something, and we're looking out there rather than agreeing with what God's doing inside of us, oh my goodness, that's very depressing. It's very depressing, but it should not be. It must not be. You are filled with Christ Himself. You are filled with Christ Himself. Many of you in this room do not fully get this. Okay, all of us in this room do not fully get this. You are filled with Christ Himself. Do you know, today, as I was getting ready for this message, many times today in my living room, I started busting out laughing. I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it because I know this is true. I know it's true. I know it is. And the Spirit of God just starts welling up within me. I don't get it all. I don't understand it all fully yet. I'm getting there. But I can tell you, I am full of joy. I am full of joy. Because how can you not be? Everything's already been determined. We're walking it out. We're trusting the Lord. He's changing us in the process as we learn to trust Him. And for many of us, I'm telling you, this political season and this presidential race was a huge growing up time. It depends on how you're going to respond and react to this, but God's trying to grow His kids up. Would you stop looking to people and set your eyes on me? Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. How many times that we know these scriptures, but then when something in real life shows up, we go, oh no, all is lost. Now, I understand that's not everybody in this room. I do understand that. For some of you, that's how you were feeling. Some of you, I understand, voted for President-elect Obama. So my next couple of paragraphs actually address that. First of all, here's another important reminder. Jesus is not a Republican, nor is he a Democrat. He's not a donkey. He's not an elephant. He's the King. Jesus is King, and He is ushering in His Father's kingdom that has no end. In Joshua chapter 5. If you got a Bible, go ahead and open it. If you don't, it's a really good book. I'm just kidding. Joshua 5. This is where an angel who most commentators would agree that this is Jesus that came as a messenger. Not provable, but most believe that. For reasons I won't get into right at the moment. So, Joshua 5, verse 13. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him, grasping a naked sword, unsheathed sword. Joshua walked towards him and said to him, "Are you on our side or on that of our enemies?" Whose side are you on? And he replied, "I'm on neither side. I have come now as the captain of the army of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the ground, worshiping him, and said, "What has my Lord to say to a servant?" And the captain of the army of the Lord answered Joshua, "Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. "Lord, are you on my side or his side?" He says, "You know what, son, daughter, you got some growing up to do. Because I'm not taking sides. I'm on both of your sides if you want to know." But he says, here's another quote from The Chronicles of Narnia. I don't remember which book offhand. There's seven of them. But in one of the books, I clearly remember, because I've quoted this so many times, that Aslan comes and says, "I didn't come to take sides. I came to take over." The captain of the hosts, Jesus, he's here to take over. And I want to tell you, everybody is on his side unless you choose not to be. But he's here to take over. And so often in this life still, we don't quite get it. We don't get his heart. We're wanting him to take sides. And we don't get it. He's for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That anyone who would believe in him would have eternal life. That not one would perish. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's the heart of the Father. So, back to the letter. Having said all that, the euphoria or the disappointment that you may have felt on Tuesday night, based upon whether the candidate of your choice won or lost, is a reflection of our tendency to focus on the temporal and not the eternal. The euphoria comes often because we have placed far too much faith in what one person can do. And again, rather than pointing fingers, because I'm just taking a wager here that probably most of you who voted for John McCain this time probably voted for President Bush 4 years ago or 8 years ago. I'm just wagering a bet. So therefore, the things I'm saying this time, those who experienced the euphoria of Bush being elected 4 years ago or 8 years ago, I'm saying the same thing. Because what we see is no matter what we think candidates stand for, we always have some surprises, don't we? And you know what? Every single president in history has done really great things and some really, really bad things. So they've really messed up. Every president in history. And somehow we get this idea, if I just vote for the right person, then that won't happen and everything's going to turn around. So we've placed too much faith in one person. No person, no matter how great, will save the United States and the world. That job belongs to Jesus. On the other hand, the disappointment often comes because we place too much faith in our fears of the future. I mean, think about it for a minute. We do place our faith in different places. Why would we be afraid of things in the future? Because we believe they're going to happen, those bad things. That means you're putting your faith in those things. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what fear is. Fear isn't fear if you don't believe that it's going to happen. You wouldn't be afraid if you didn't think it was going to happen. So we go to that next place of the things that we start getting fed, you know, these bad things that are going to happen, we start believing them. That's when the fear comes. We actually put our faith in the fear. I don't know if you ever thought about that before. For those feeling this, I assure you that God is not throwing up his hands saying, I didn't see this coming. Now what do I do? Just doesn't fit with the God I know. Instead, God invites us to see the world and history from his perspective. He says, child, climb up onto my lap and see the whole picture as I see it, with the sealed up victory in plain view. Using a sports analogy, if we were shown ahead of time that we win the game, which we do, we wouldn't fret during the game no matter what the score, would we? Would we? Can I tell you something? You win the game. And not just barely either. It's a landslide. It's embarrassing we win so badly. You know, you ever feel bad for teams because they get really embarrassed? You're like, oh, just let them score a touchdown, please. You know, 66-0, 72-0. Oh, please stop. You know what? That's the kind of game it is. And it's done. It's finished. We're still living through it, but I guarantee you it is finished. That when Jesus said it is finished on the cross. See, God's outside of time. We have this linear thinking, understandably, because we're living linearly right now. That is not the kingdom. That is not eternity. God is outside of our time. It's all front to finish has happened. That's why he has complete confidence. He's not guessing at what's going to happen. He sees it all. I know if you think too much about this, your brain starts frying, you know, because it's like, what is, well, la, 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 do, 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 do. It doesn't even, you know, register too much. But nonetheless, it is absolutely true. And it's why he has 100% confidence. He's not guessing at anything. He's not wringing his hands. He is not upset. He's not. I you know what? I'll just say this. Some of the letters out there, some of the emails that were circulating from certain sources were implying that because President Obama was elected, therefore Christians didn't do enough. You didn't pray enough. You didn't fast enough. I understand this is not all of the Christian body. You understand? I'm saying I know that this is not how all you feel. I know that certain ones of you voted different ways. I'm just telling you the stuff that's out there. That certain ones say because this person was not elected, you did not pray enough, you did not fast enough. I've heard California blamed for all this. I have. That we're the reason why the USA and the world's going down the tank. You think I'm kidding? I am not kidding. These are actually spoken. Do you understand, though, that these are actually curses? That our father, our daddy is still in a good mood? I know a ton of godly people right here in this room that God is really pleased with. I know a house of prayer just a few miles away in Dublin that's been going at it, and God's so amazingly pleased with them. You know what? He's pleased. He's like, church, you're getting it. Good job. Thanks for agreeing with my heart more and more and more. So, whether or not you voted for President-elect Obama, our mandate remains the same. We are to sincerely lift him up in prayer. And with all that's happening in the world right now, there is no more strategic time to do so. Our faith is never in a man, but it's in a God who loves his child, in this case, Barack, and who is able to give him everything he needs, the wisdom, the guidance, strategies, angelic help, everything he needs for this country to prosper and to remain one nation under God. What our Father asks is, will you agree with me to bless and not curse my son? That's the choice. It's always the choice. Will we bless or will we curse? Will we agree with God's heart, or do we get sucked in by other forces to start getting fuzzy-headed and things twisted around, and we start hating people? And that's not your nature. It's not at all. So we're actually going to do this. We're going to pray. We're going to do it right now. We're going to pray for President-elect Obama and for President Bush. And I mentioned a couple weeks ago how one prophet I enjoy listening to hearing is Kim Clement, because he just seems to constantly shower us with the good news that God's doing things and he's moving and none of the doom and gloom stuff. So I told you a couple weeks ago that months ago Kim Clement prophesied that whoever was elected into office was going to have an encounter with God that was going to radically change them. Now we know the blank to fill in about who God should encounter and radically change. Of course, we pray the same for John McCain. We pray for all of his kids. But I'm just saying that was spoken. This is something else I want to tell you. The fears that you have of, I will just say in this case, Barack Obama, because he's the one that was elected. I would have said the same thing if it was John McCain. But I'm telling you, the fears if there's anyone in this room that has fears because of what you've heard, of what might happen or what he might do, now you know how to prophetically declare what he needs, don't you? Because, let me just use one example, only because it was out there. One of the fears was that he won't have a heart for the nation of Israel. That fear was out there. Therefore, it's our job as the body of Christ and as believers to prophesy into him that he will, God will download his heart for Israel right into him, that he will have people around him who are going to give him wisdom in this area. See, nothing's too difficult for God. When we start putting all this power into one person, either for good or for evil, we're giving him way too much power. We have the authority to agree with God's heart, and that's what changes things. So we're going to do that right now. I actually got a little bit more I want to say, but I want to stop right now and pray. All right? You can sit, stand, do whatever you want. I'm just going to pray for a little bit here. So Father, we come to you as your children, totally convinced that you are good, and that you are powerful, and that God, you know what you're doing. You have things perfectly under control. That there is no need to be afraid. You say, fear not. Fear not, fear not. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. So God, thank you. We receive your encouragement. As we look to you, we're filled with joy. As we really see your face of looking of love on us, it's really hard to get too worried when you're looking down, the God who has all power, all authority, and you're looking down on us with love saying, it's okay. I know what I'm doing. So thank you. And God, it is our privilege to agree with you for your heart for President-elect Obama. And God, we declare together blessings over this one who, God, it says all authority has come from you. You're the one who dispenses authority. So God, we just bless this one whom you have placed in authority. And God, we speak tremendous wisdom into this man, that everything he needs, he will get. I do pray for people that you would place around him in posts and positions that would give him everything he needs, all the wisdom he needs in certain areas. And God, most of all, that you yourself would impart your wisdom directly into him. And God, we agree with that prophetic word. And it is our heart to agree, God, that you would dramatically touch Barack Obama with your spirit. Your spirit would touch his spirit. God, that he would have an encounter just as Saul did and became Paul on the road to Damascus. We declare a road to Damascus encounter for Barack Obama. And God, we're just crazy enough to believe that a few hundred of us sitting in a room is going to make a difference because we're agreeing with your heart. Because it's true. It's true, God. That's the authority you've given to us, is to agree with you and to watch things happen. So God, we declare that over him. And God, I do, because we just spoke it, I do declare, God, that you would give Barack your heart for the Jewish people, your heart for the nation of Israel, that he would see its importance in history and how it is important in future history. God, it's way too much for us to even talk about right now, but Lord, would you impart that into him? Would you let him see those things, God? And Lord, we do bless President Bush. We bless him, God. We bless him. And you know, every president takes so much criticism. Lord, we just speak blessing, God, that you would encourage his heart. And Kim Clement also spoke a word over President Bush, that he would end his term with honor, that there would be honor in his term, that it would end, that some things would be flipping around at the end that would really surprise people because of things that they did not know. And God, we just declare that. We just speak blessing and honor to President Bush, that you would bless him. In Jesus' name, amen. How'd that feel for you? Was that all right? I hope it did feel good, because we are created to be blessers. We are created to be blessers. Anything else is against our nature. The Bible says, honor those in authority. 1 Peter 2. For the sake of the Lord, for God's sake, for his sake, he says, would you do this for me? Would you accept the authority of every human institution, the emperor as the supreme authority and the governors and as commissioned by him to punish criminals and praise those who do good? Now let me stop there for a minute. we say, oh, well, God, I thought God was in a good mood and he doesn't punish and all that. No, those who are in Christ, you live by a different, you know, you're in a different game. But not everybody's there yet. And you know, without society, without God-given authority, there is anarchy, there's chaos. There's horrible things happen. I am so glad. You know, sometimes when you get a ticket and you're, you know what? If that wasn't there, if they weren't doing that, do you know how crazy it would be out on the road? Everybody would do anything they wanted. So there's a reason why God has things set up. It's because not everybody has arrived yet. Not everybody has learned, even those in Christ yet, haven't learned what to do with their freedom. They haven't learned to do all things in love. Probably nobody in this room has learned every time to do all things in love yet. So there's reasons why we have authority. It is God's will that by your good deeds you should silence the ignorant talk of fools. Have respect for everyone. Love your fellow believers. Fear God and honor the emperor. And again, we just heard this again in Bethel. We don't honor, regardless of who it is, we do not honor somebody because they deserve it. We honor people because we're made in the image of God. We are people who give honor because that's who we are. It's who we are. That's why we honor. And in Romans 13, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. That sounds kind of harsh, but what it's saying is, if you are speaking curses, if that's what you're doing, be careful. There is still sowing and reaping involved in the kingdom. We're moving from sowing and reaping to inheritance, aren't we? We're learning that there's a better way where we get what we don't deserve. But I'm still telling you, sowing and reaping is a part of the kingdom. You be careful what you sow. I forgot to mention in the last one, in Peter's. Because you might think, some of you, you know, if your thinking caps are on, you're going, yeah, but what if it's really a horrible government? You don't mean that, do you? Well, you know what? Do you know when Peter wrote this? You want to know, remember who he was executed by? Under Emperor Nero? Remember that name? Not a great leader. That's Peter wrote this. I'll let you think about that one. So, I want to go into hope, because that's what we need, is the restoration of hope, right? Psalm 42, David says, I love David. I love him. Because he does get down. He's a real person. But you know what? He does this self-talk thing in a really good way. He starts talking to himself about truth. And he's saying to himself, why be so downcast? Why all these sighs? Hope in God. I will praise him still, my Savior, my God. You know the quickest way out of discouragement? Worship. Worship. Even if at the beginning you don't feel like it, I don't care. He's worthy of it whether you feel like it or not. And what happens is when you start to engage in worship, your heart starts changing. It's like the little kid, you know, where they're mad and they want to stay mad. And then someone, you know, a parent's coming along and saying, it's okay. And they're like, no, I want to stay. Okay. You know, they're kind of like, no, I want to stay. You can't stay mad if you're in God's presence. You can't stay discouraged, because he starts calling to you and telling you who he is. And you're like, oh, yeah. And your heart starts warming up again. So I really encourage you, whether that means sitting and soaking to a CD, or if some of you play instruments or whatever, or just, I don't know, if you're by yourself, get in the middle of the room and jump up and down and scream and tell him how great he is. Whatever you want to do, just do it. It's so good for you. Here's another thing of hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in your faith, so that in the power of the Holy Spirit you may be rich in hope. And I want to remind you again, that word hope does not mean, I hope this happens. Hope is the absolute assurance, giddiness, childlike giddiness of what you know is going to happen. Many of you have heard this analogy, but it's like a little child who is going to, can barely go to sleep because the next morning they're going to Disneyland because dad said so. And they can barely go to sleep because they know, oh my gosh, tomorrow I get to meet Mickey Mouse. They can't stand it because they know what's going to happen. That's hope. That's what God's put inside of you. And do you know, He knows without hope, we would be destroyed. I mean, think about even for your own life, personally, your own life, in the matter of you being freed from your sin nature. So your sin nature no longer defines you. You're in Christ, right? That's your new nature. But when we forget who we are and we go back to the old stuff that will never have life, if you did not have hope, if you didn't know that He would forgive you one more time and one more time and one more time and one more time, you would absolutely lose hope. You would be in despair. You would want to kill yourself. There's no reason to go on. You see, I mean, it's horrible. I don't want to keep going there because, wow, I've just felt the whole room go, ugh. I don't want to go there. I'm just saying, God knows we need hope. And that's why He will forgive you, and He does forgive you. He forgives you. He washes you. He loves you, because you have to have that hope. He knows that. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23. This is just cool. I know you guys, most of you know this passage, but it's so cool about hope. I'm going to explain something that in a way you might have never heard before. I don't know. That this passage we know so well is about hope. May the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm skipping to verse 17, the Father of glory, give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation to bring you to the full knowledge of Him. And that's an experiential knowing Him. May He enlighten the eyes of your heart. So, may He do all these things so that, why? So that you will know the hope His call holds for you. Interesting. I'll go on in a second on that passage. We usually don't think of that passage in the way of as a hope passage. But He's saying, I'm going to show you who I am because you've got to have hope. And the only way you'll have hope is if you see Me as I really am. It's the only way you'll have hope. You've got to know how powerful I am, how good I am, how much I love you, how all things are working for good. You've got to know Me. You can't just know about Me. You've got to know Me. Because if you know Me, you're going to have hope. That giddiness of what you know is absolutely coming. His hope, so that you can see the hope His call holds for you. How rich is the glory of the heritage He offers among His holy people. How extraordinarily great is the power that He has given to believers. The same strength of His power at work in Christ. The power which He exercised in raising Him from the dead and enthroning Him at His right hand. I'm reading this going, oh my gosh, are you guys getting this? The same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you. We read this so often. We're like, yeah, I got it. Goodness. Same power that raised Christ from the dead is in you. Man. And the same power that raised Him high and enthroned Him at the right hand in heaven, far above every principality, ruling force, power, or sovereignty. This is another reason why you have no reason to fear. And why the oh no's shouldn't hit you. Because where are you? Seated with Christ. Where's Jesus? Oh, He's far above. Remember I told you about that lopsided score? Yeah. Far above every principality, every ruling force, every power, every sovereignty, or any other name that can be named, and not only in this age, but also in the one to come. That sounds pretty all-inclusive to me. He has put all things under His feet and made Him, as He is above all things, the head of the church. Ooh, that's us. his body, the fullness of him who is filled all in all. Last one. Jesus is king over all. Whenever, I don't know about you, I got certain scriptures. When I need them, I go back to them 1,000 times. Because it just does something to me. And you know what? This is one that does something to me. Colossians chapter 1 does something to me. I'm just going to read it. I'm going to read it in 2 different translations. I'll just say ahead of time, again, this is why. This is why you have all hope. This is why you don't need to be going up and down with the things of this world, whether it's the presidential race, whether it's the economy, whatever else it is. Personal things going on in your life. I know there's things, but I'm telling you, the fact that Jesus is king makes all the difference in the world. Let me just read this. I'm going to start in verse 13. It's he who has rescued us from the ruling force of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And in him we enjoy our freedom, the forgiveness of sin. And now he's going to explain Jesus. Jesus is the image of the unseen God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, everything visible, everything invisible, thrones, ruling forces, sovereignties, powers, all things were created through him and for him. He exists before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, that is the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he should be supreme in every way. Because God wanted all fullness to be found in him, and through him to reconcile all things to him, everything in heaven, everything on earth, by making peace through his death on the cross. Amazing, 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 amazing. I'll go back and read that. I'll sing that. I'm telling you, you cannot stay in the doldrums or in the pits when you read stuff like that. You can't. Just telling you. Now, I'm going to read this. Sometimes what happens is we get so familiar with something that we don't hear it anymore. So I'm going to read it to you from Rob Lacey's book, The Word on the Street. Just listen to a completely different rendition of this than you've ever heard before. Here we go. So he says, so what's God like? Problem, we can't see him. We're too freaked to focus. The light's burning out our eyeballs. God's invisible, etc. But we know what he's like. How come? Because we've seen the liberator, Jesus, God's equal, who runs creation. So what's he like? He made it all happen. Heaven, earth, physical, spiritual, all the powers that be, kings, systems, angels, demons, all made by and for him. He's the how and the why of every question. It all comes down to him. He is the head of the Jesus Liberation Movement. He's the starting line of life. He's the first to cheat on death, the first to tell death where to go. He's got the capacity to take in the totality of God without exploding. He's the ultimate blood donor. Donating his life on the cross so that God can complete the operation and slowly draw everybody, everything in heaven or down here back towards him. He's the basis of the peace treaty between us and God. And one more paragraph. Peace treaty? Yeah, you were at war with God. Your attitude and your lifestyle declared war, but now the blood of the liberator has bailed you out. You stand in his court and you look at the judge in the eyes. You're guilty, but you're innocent. No one can scream liar, thief, murderer at you from the gallery, the liberator has already taken your death penalty, so there's no case against you. So don't stop being convinced. Don't lose your grip on the good news. Don't jack in your prospects. Yeah, you've heard it right. The good news got through to you loud and clear. No interference. It's zinging around the airwaves right now, global. And my job is to make sure it keeps on zinging. The mystery is that the liberator, Jesus, lives in you. It's amazing. Jesus lives in you. Wow. That's just amazing. Lord, give us new words. It's just it's way too good to be true, except that it is true. It's the only thing that really is true, you know? It's Jesus. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I already told you what hope is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I give no one in this room permission to leave here discouraged or depressed. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope, the certainty of glory. In you. Not around you somewhere. In you. So I was asking the Lord earlier, this is why I was laughing all day. I'm serious. You cannot look at, this is what I was looking at all day today. I'm like, oh, this is so good. You know, it isn't like I'm making myself laugh. All of a sudden it just starts welling up and I'm like, I can't, you know, it's just, it's so good. It's so good. Some of you get it. It's so good. No, you all get it. You're just getting it more and more and more. So I was asking the Lord, what do you want to do tonight? And we need to encourage. I don't know what it, you know, anything that you're here, if you're feeling discouraged, just don't leave that way. You can't. There's too many people around here who will be glad to just pour in some, you know, goodness into you, some good news into you. So but I was just reminded, sometimes, again, we can look at the newspapers or whatever and get discouraged. But I was just reminded, look what's been going on just right here in this little tiny section, you know, corner dot in the world. And then this little dot within that dot called Blazing Fire on a Saturday night. Do you know that I just remind you a couple of things that about a month ago, there was a woman who was completely deaf in one ear that the Lord opened her ear and she hears now. Do you know that there was a man right here who had all of his vertebrae fused? He couldn't move his head, an older gentleman. And God, in a couple minutes' time, just completely loosened it all up. How does fused bones become unfused in moments? Must be Jesus. That's what I know. Somebody just testified of they had heart irregularities and high blood pressure. Healed. Go back to the doctor, you got no more problems. Those are just a few things. Many of you have come to me and told me what God's doing in your personal lives, in relationships, in, you know, I just want to encourage all of you, whatever it is that you got going on, this, it's nothing for God to touch and take care of. Really. Really, really. I'm just going to declare something over you, and then I'm going to have some people up here and we'll pray. And I'll tell you this, next week too, I really do highly encourage you to come next week when Georgian's here. And I can just about guarantee you, in fact, I'll tell him I'd like us to have a fire tunnel. Which if you're new, is just a couple of rows of people who are crazy in love with Jesus and got all kinds of stuff to give away. And you walk down the middle and get touched and God does some really cool things. So I just want to tell you, I want to encourage you with that, to come and just get filled and filled and filled. But you don't have to wait for that. Isn't that great? Because you get to be filled now. So, Father, I declare in Jesus' name that you fill us. Fill us, fill us, fill us, God, with your presence. Father, I speak blessing. Blessing, 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 blessing over your children. Blessing. Oh, my goodness. Do you know, as I did that, I was looking at different ones of you, all the way, everyone I look at, he's like, ooh, I love that one, and I love that one, and I love that one, and that one, and that one, and that one, and that one. He's better than Romper Room. You know, I see Johnny and Betty and Susie. For those of you way old enough to know what I'm talking about. Bless them, Lord. Bless your kids. Bless your kids. Bless your kids. Father, I declare that no discouragement, no despair, no gloom and doom may stick around your children in Jesus' name. I declare freedom. I declare light, that your light would penetrate every bit of darkness in the name of Jesus. God, would you now restore the hope anywhere where the enemy's lies came in to cloud it? The hope's always been there, but God, I ask you to uncloud it now. Uncloud it. Let them see the hope. Let them know that inexpressible joy of who you are and what you are going to do, always working for the good of your children. Let them know it, let them know it, let them know it to the core of their being. Father, I'm asking you by the power of your Spirit to woo in your children, woo their hearts. God, lead them, draw them into intimate places of worship with you. God, in that place, in the quiet place that no one can steal. That I'm telling you guys, no one can steal that from you. Those intimate places that God's going to draw you to, it's so valuable. No guilt allowed if that's not what you've been doing lately. No worries, because that's already been washed. That's already gone. I'm just telling you where God's bringing you, where he's taking you. He's drawing you in. Father, draw them, draw them, draw them. Draw your kids. Draw your kids, God. You are good. We declare together, you are good. You are good, Lord. You are good. You are so good. You're so good to us all the time. You're so good. And we bless you. We love you, Lord, and we bless you. Whew, so, wow. So I need some really like hope-filled people up here. Are there some really hope-filled people that want to come up and pray? I'm inviting you. Yahoo. Cool. 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 Awesome. Now do spread out some so that you can spread out a little bit more so that you have a little bit of privacy if you're praying for someone. Spread out. Yeah, you know, give yourself a couple feet in between you all. Oh, thank you. You know what? There's a bunch of hope-filled people up here. I know it. Thank you, Lord. Yes, no, you want to or not? Awesome. Okay. Carla's going to play a little bit for worship. So as this is where, and I know most of you already know it because you've been here, but this is where it's kind of like a smorgasbord, where you get what God wants to give to you. So if you need prayer for whatever, healing, encouragement, just come up. Well, all I would ask is don't make your request super long. Like, just get right to it and then let him bless you. You know, because sometimes what happens is, especially if we're discouraged, we start rehearsing it all over again, you know, in triplicate. And actually that starts bringing you back down. So just sometimes all you need is, hey, I'm a little discouraged. Would you just see what God has for me? That's great. Sometimes that's all you need. Or if you have a specific thing you need healing for, just let them know. Let them pray for you. And if you have nothing and you just want to sit and let Carla, you know, the Lord through her just bless you, then please feel free to soak in that. And you guys are awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome. You're awesome. In Christ, you rock. You rock with the rock. So, that's it. I bless you in Jesus' name. So please feel free to give each other a hug or come on up for prayer. Jim, can you turn on sound for Carla?